reading comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 47. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then, in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
I went through a phase where I would say fresh as hell a lot of times, and I would say it in like really inappropriate times really often. So Todd actually trained me to say fresh as the kingdom of heaven. So hopefully tonight will be fresh as the kingdom of heaven. Let's just move these. There we go. So over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at kingdom parables, stories Jesus shares to crowds about the kingdom of heaven. We've been looking at parables of the sower, the parables of weeds. It's been very plant-related, much to Zach Robertson's delight. Tonight we're going to be looking at just these two short verses, the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. The parables highlight two main ideas, the immense value of the treasure found and the willingness to sell everything for this treasure. So these are the two main ideas we're going to be looking at tonight. So let's pray and then we'll jump in. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for your kingdom. I thank you so much for how glorious you are and how valuable the gift of your kingdom is, Lord. I just pray that tonight we can just really sit with that value and respond to it. I pray this in your Son's holy name. Amen. So Jesus talked in parable form quite often. About 35% of what Jesus said in the Synoptic Gospels, so that means Matthew, Mark, and Luke, was in the form of parable. Mark 4:34 actually says, "He did not say anything to the crowds without using a parable." Parables were used to illustrate a point, draw attention to a point, or lead to someone to an unexpected conclusion. Parables were used to engage people, get them speaking, talking, and thinking about what Jesus had to say on a point. Jesus would use concepts the crowds were familiar with, such as farming or fishing, or in this circumstance, he talks about treasure and pearls, in hope to connect with the audience. The thing is, when I was reading this parable about the pearls, it was talking about a merchant looking for fine pearls, and I was just like, what's he going to do with a pearl? Like, I think pearls are aesthetic and all, but they're sort of just like, I don't know, they just like sit there all round and stuff. I don't really see the personal value in pearls. So I feel like if I was the one person in the crowd, if Jesus was just talking to me for this parable, he wouldn't say the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. The parable would say something more like, the kingdom of heaven is like Pendo in an op shop looking for the perfect t-shirt. If you've known me for longer than a minute, you'll probably know that I love a good t-shirt. I love to search through the menswear sections of op shops looking for just a really nice vintage tee, preferably in size large or extra large. I just love my shirts, and like a parent with their children, I shouldn't have favorites, but I definitely do. This t-shirt that I'm wearing tonight is actually my Planet Hollywood t-shirt, and this is like my favorite t-shirt. It's actually my favorite to such an extent that if someone was to ask me to get rid of either my whole t-shirt collection or this one t-shirt, I would get rid of my entire collection, which is huge. But I just love this t-shirt so much. And not everyone might see the value in this t-shirt. According to Salvos, it's actually worth $4, $2 and half price Friday. It was a great day, guys. I see this t-shirt as incredibly valuable. I think it's the perfect level of oversize. The neck's like a really good width. It's not too small, but I hate a huge neck, so it's like the perfect level. Love a good vintage black wash look as well. I froth this t-shirt, guys, if you don't get that point. So, so this is my most valuable t-shirt, and I would get rid of every other t-shirt just to save this one. This is how valuable it is to me. And this is the sort of value that Jesus says the kingdom of God has. He says discovering the kingdom of God is like discovering something that's more valuable than anything else you have. To clarify, the kingdom of God is the kingdom of God is the reign of God, as we've discussed over the past couple of weeks in this series. It's the good news of the kingdom that Jesus preaches. It's the news that God reigns over our lives and over the world. This message is of incredible value. If there is a God, if there's a God that reigns over the world and our lives, a God wanting a relationship with us, a God that belief in means we'll never die but have eternal life with him, that's a big deal. We must not forget the value of this message. The kingdom of God is so valuable that we as humans can never entirely comprehend its true value. The kingdom of God is the most valuable treasure, the most valuable pearl we could ever discover. I know I sort of roasted pearls in value earlier in the sermon just because I like t-shirts more, but the reason why Jesus used the analogy of the pearl is because back then, pearls were actually so incredibly valuable and very expensive. So he used that analogy so the audience would understand the incredible value of the treasure. Pearls were incredibly valuable, just like the kingdom of God. And Jesus is the king of the kingdom of God. Jesus brought the kingdom to earth, and through his ministry, he shows us what the kingdom should look like. Then through his death and resurrection, Jesus has presented us the keys to this kingdom. All we have to do is accept them and follow him. So how should we respond to the kingdom of God? How should we respond to God's reign? We should surrender to him. In both parables, the protagonists sold everything they had so they could attain the valuable item they found. In response, us Christians are called to do the same thing. I'm not saying sell everything you have and buy a pearl or go bury some treasure in a field or something. I'm saying surrender all you have to God. For the merchant looking for pearls, nothing he had came even close to the value of that one special pearl he found. He surrendered all he had to attain the pearl because he knew the value. If you are aware of the value of the kingdom of God, are you surrendering everything in your life to God? Jesus calls us to surrender all we have to him. Not long after Jesus says this parable to the crowd, Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 16:24, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." This is Jesus' call to discipleship that we've been learning about all year. To be followers of Jesus, we must deny ourselves, which means surrendering over our own will for our own lives, whether that's good or bad, and surrender entirely to God's will for our lives. If the valuable kingdom of God is true, if Jesus is the ruler of that kingdom who cares for us and has a will for our lives, his will is going to be way better for our lives than whatever our will was for our lives. So, something about me is I struggle a bit with rules. If I don't fully understand a rule, I won't really see the need to obey it. And then in the end, I usually find out the hard way why that rule was there in the first place. So when I was young, I loved to ride my Razor scooter. About the age of 7, I wanted to ride my Razor scooter in the front yard. And my parents were like, "You can do that. Just be careful and don't do any tricks before we come out to supervise." Sorry, my parents don't know I'm telling the story, and they actually don't know the full truth about this story. We'll see. Hopefully, they won't care because it's a sermon. They'll just be proud of me or something. But anyway, so they're like, "Don't do any tricks before we come out and supervise." And I didn't want to wait for my parents to come out before I did some sick stunts. My cousin was over, and I really wanted to impress her. So I was like, "She'll be right." And I did a bunny hop. Well, she was not right. I ended up doing a bunny hop, and somehow, because I'm just that level of unco, I landed really badly on the driveway, absolutely splitting my knee open. I did tell my parents I just tripped over a tree root on the driveway, and that's why they redid our entire driveway. So, But you see, love you. But you see, my parents knew me. They knew I was likely to want to do a trick on my scooter, and they knew I was really unco, so there's a good chance I would stack it. My parents had a will for me to be safe, and I didn't trust that will, and it left me with a night in emergency and a sick wound that I'd use to gross out my friends at school. God, too, has a will we must trust that sometimes we might not understand. To follow this, we must deny ourselves, go against our will, and surrender everything to God's will. So what in your life do you need to surrender to God? Surrendering everything to God, constantly following his will, is often difficult, and I wish I was preaching this idea from a place where I could say I have this idea done perfectly, but I really don't. I don't think any of us do, or any of us ever will, as long as this world's broken, as long as we're broken at least. And the only way we can even come close is by drawing on the strength of God. Though luckily, just to remind you, it isn't actually our actions that save us, it is our faith. Though if we're taking our faith seriously, if we're trying to follow God, we will continue to surrender everything to him, because his will for us is perfect, unlike our own. So what in your life do you need to surrender to God? Maybe it's your time. Are you making time in your life for God? Often when we go through difficult patches in faith, we're so quick to blame God for not being there, for not connecting with us, though usually we're not putting any time and effort into our relationship with him. Make time to spend with God for prayer, Bible reading, Bible study, church, whatever helps you grow in relationship with him, make time for that. And make time to serve in ministry as well as serving one another. Maybe you need to surrender some of your behaviors. Maybe you struggle to act in a way that actually glorifies God. Or you might not even, one example is that you could struggle to drink responsibly. Or you may not even think that you struggle, but it could be impacting those around you and having a bad influence on them, not necessarily glorifying the kingdom of God. So what behaviors in your life aren't reflecting God's kingdom that you need to surrender? Another thing that you may have to surrender to God is your social life. Are you willing to do what's right, what glorifies the kingdom of God, even if there's potential social sacrifice? Are you willing to stand up for people that it might be embarrassing to stand up for? Are you willing to own your faith and be open about the fact that you're Christian in all social situations, let alone try and evangelize? Or what about within our church community? Are you willing to talk to new people, even though you might just want to catch up with your friends that you always see because that's socially easier? Are you willing to be accountable with one another in faith, make the step to be vulnerable with one another and support one another as Jesus calls us to, even though making the first step in that direction could be potentially uncomfortable and a bit of an effort? We are also called to surrender ourselves mentally and emotionally, two things that actually affect our social situations and our behaviors more than we might think. Maybe you're someone that's a bit quick to judge. I've been on both ends of judging others. I've been that person that does the whole passive-aggressive judging someone because you're worried about them. But then I've also been the person on the other end of getting judged, and that sucks. The Bible talks about rebuking, and rebuking is such a good thing. But don't let that get mixed up with judging someone and gossiping about them. Don't discuss someone behind their back if you have no intention of doing something about it and doing something to help them. Another example of how we're called to surrender mentally and emotionally is by casting all of our fear and anxiety on God and just entirely trust him. It's normal to stress about things we can't control, and I do it plenty. I get so anxious and afraid about circumstances completely out of my control that I forget the truth. The truth being that God's in complete control, and he's the one that loves me more than anything, so I should just trust his will for my life. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." My final example of things to surrender to God is your finances. Our finances often reflect our own priorities. What do you spend the most of your money on? Is it things that glorify God, or is it just things that glorify you? Even with our necessities, sometimes we go a bit more luxurious than needed, where that money could be spent better elsewhere, serving others and serving God. There are so many examples of things I could use for things you should sacrifice for God, things that you should surrender to Him. And maybe you're thinking of something right now that you're actually glad I didn't use as an example. There's something sitting on your heart. And if there is, I'm sorry, but there's a good chance you're going to have to sacrifice that too. I've sat in this congregation before as someone stood up the front talking to me about surrendering everything to God with something on my heart that I'm just trying to justify that I can just hold on to. If that's you right now, I just want to encourage you to give that over to God, because one way or another, you're going to have to, no matter what. And that experience, when you do give things over to God, that's where you find freedom with Him. And if you're worried about any of these things, that it will be sacrificing your own personal comfort, I just want to highlight that I struggle to pick a point in Jesus' ministry that I can say that looks like a really comfortable situation. Surrendering everything to God is often uncomfortable as we make sacrifice with our behaviors, our social life, our thoughts, our time, and our finances. If you struggle to surrender these things over to God, that's okay. Sometimes as humans, we are weak and we feel like we're constantly stuffing up. But I just want to encourage you not to give up in trying to surrender everything to God. There are things in your life you can do to make this process easier. Each situation is unique and have unique things that you can do to try and make surrendering everything to God easier. But there are three things that I've picked that I believe can help you in every single situation. So one, utilize your community. Be open with one another so we can support each other and strengthen each other. As a church community, we should be yearning to serve and support one another. So be honest in your struggles and try and find someone in this congregation to be accountable with. Two, get spiritually disciplined. If you are continuously reminding yourself of the value of the kingdom of God, sacrifices for the kingdom won't even really feel like sacrifices, because the kingdom of God is so valuable, it would be a no-brainer to surrender those things to Him. And three, ask God for strength. Prayer is powerful. Be honest with God. Be vulnerable with Him and ask Him for strength. I've talked so much about giving things up for the kingdom of God. I just want to remind you, in the parables, when people sold everything, they also gained that treasure that they were selling everything for. The kingdom of God is so worth every single sacrifice you might have to make. And yes, the sacrifice is hard, and I don't intend to make your struggles feel invalid. But when you think of these things in comparison to the glory of a restored relationship with your Creator, if you think of our tiny lifetimes in comparison to eternity with God, the sacrifices are only brief, and they're so worth it. Hold on to the hope of the complete restoration of the kingdom of God when things get tough. Remember the value of the kingdom of God. For what we have is nothing compared to the value of Jesus. We are not talking about some religious teacher. We are talking about God manifest in flesh. We are talking about the one whose value is without a price. At the heart of entering the kingdom is a relationship of complete devotion to God, a devotion that places God at the center of one's life. It is a response that involves a whole person, the heart, the soul, and the mind. So what do you need to surrender to God? We're about to enter into a time of prayer, and we're going to open prayer with just a moment for you to talk to God, a moment for you to think about what you might need to surrender, how you could maybe be using your life more efficiently to serve Him. So I'm going to give you that time, and then I'll wrap up and we can kick on with the service. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that you are good and you are holy and you are so much bigger than anything we might be struggling with. Lord, I just present everything to you. I surrender everything to you. Praise in your Son's holy name. Amen.